All right, day 22. We kind of have a little bit of a reprieve today, right? Four chapters.
Not
too bad. We're in Esther.
No, well, there were only four chapters yesterday in Nehemiah, too. So.
Yep, easy start to the week.
Yeah, now enjoy Job, tomorrow won't be quite so easy.
yeah.
But Esther is kind of a weird book. It's a historical book.
Mm-hmm.
It's an interlude. You know what's interesting about the book of Esther is God's name is not mentioned in this book, although God's fingerprints are
all over it.
All over it. We read and we read the first four chapters. And in chapter one, we read this backstory about the king and his queen. And basically, the king is having a wild party. Xerxes is having a wild party.
Mm-hmm.
And he decides to demand that his queen Vashti perform. Now, mm-hmm. we don't know exactly what that means, mm-hmm. but it's demeaning.
Yeah.
Right? She is supposed
to... The commentary I read is possibly naked.
Yes. She's supposed to come in and do some mm-hmm. kind of a dance or thing mm-hmm. to please all of the people attending the party, which she wasn't even invited to.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, that's a good point.
And they're all drunk and they're all, you know...
Yeah.
And so... And because this is... You know what's happening in this part of the world and in this religion. You're thinking, you know, orgies and free for alls and all mm-hmm. kinds of depravity. And he's saying to the queen, "Hey, you come and participate, perform yeah. for us." And she says, "No,
mm-hmm.
I'm not doing that."
Mm-hmm.
And that was not a thing that you got to say to the king,
right.
even if you were the queen.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, they have to figure out what to do with her because mm-hmm. they don't want her rubbing
they
off
have to save
on...
face. Yeah.
Well, they don't want mm-hmm. her attitude rubbing off
yep.
Because mm-hmm. they don't want other wives to say, mm-hmm. well, I don't have to then do what yep. my husband say. So she's deposed, mm-hmm. and it makes Xerxes sad. And they come up with a plan. Hey, let's get you a new queen.
Yeah, let's host right? a let's, beauty pageant.
Let's replace her. and so God orchestrates those events to bring a young Jewish woman
mm-hmm.
named Esther in front of Xerxes. She's beautiful. He falls for her and mm-hmm. ultimately ends up being married to her. She is now mm-hmm. the queen that replaces Vashti. Now, that doesn't mean that she's... You know, we don't think of it like, oh, they sat together in the throne room and they ruled together.
No.
No, I mean, she was, when he mm-hmm. wanted her, he called yeah. for her.
Well, and look at how it all went down.
Yeah.
They when they look for a replacement, they basically gather all the beautiful young virgins
mm-hmm.
From all the different provinces.
Yep.
And so, I mean, it's basically like kidnapping them,
yeah.
you know, and forcing them into the king's harem. Is it voluntary? We don't know.
We don't know.
They don't tell us that. But, you know, based on how they treat women, I would guess no, but we don't know.
No.
But.
And part of the process mm-hmm. of figuring out, do I like you?
He gets to sleep with them.
Is let's see if you please me.
Yes.
And so it is. Yeah. I mean,
it's yucky.
Yeah. It
it's
is yucky.
Real yucky.
And it is. And,
yeah.
But God orchestrates it so that Esther yes. does then become his
yep.
queen. And,
but the thing to know about Esther is that she's a Jew.
Yep. She is a Jew.
But she's kept her nationality a secret.
Yes. And so in that, God orchestrates this thing where he puts her in a position to be in charge,
mm-hmm.
Or at least not in charge, but to have
right.
to have access to the king.
Right.
At the same time, he orchestrates that her uncle, the one that basically has raised her,
mm-hmm.
so
Mordecai.
Kind of like her father, Mordecai, he is in the right place at the right time to uncover a conspiracy
mm-hmm.
to kill Xerxes. He reports it, Xerxes is saved, and he gets credit.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the first couple of chapters, we have this whole scenario where God's not mentioned, but God is clearly working
yeah.
to put his people in a position of... influence.
Mm-hmm.
And then we read why. In chapter 3, we read about a guy very close to the king. His name is Haman. Haman
Dirty
is,
dog Haman
is an honored individual. He's very high up as an official. And he doesn't like Mordecai, mm-hmm. right?
Mordecai refuses to bow to him.
Kind of does something mm-hmm. to insult him. Mm-hmm. And so instead of just getting back at Mordecai, he decides that he's going to destroy
all the
Mordecai's people, mm-hmm. which are Jews. Really, this is a hate thing, right? Mm-hmm. He hates Jews, mm-hmm. And he's using his hatred for Mordecai as a reason to kill all the Jews. And so here's what he does. He tricks Xerxes, basically, into signing a law that says everybody around the kingdom on this day in the future can get a sword, and with no consequence to themselves, they can go kill all the Jews.
It sounds like the purge.
It kind of is, right? And Jews, it's illegal for you to do anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to let it happen.
Yeah.
So the idea is Haman has orchestrated this so that the king is basically given permission for genocide.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difficult position that the Jews find themselves in. And part of the interesting thing is once in Persia, once something is set into law, it is then the law.
Mm-hmm.
There is no changing it. And it's, we read that, you know, you'll read it later in Daniel, right? It's like, even though King Darius doesn't actually want Daniel to go into the lion's den, he doesn't really have a choice, because once he says that's going to happen, that's the way it is. And so this is now the law. The Jewish people are scared. Mordecai goes to Esther in chapter 4 and says, hey, I want you to help. I want you to talk to the king, to persuade him to do something for our benefit. Esther says, I can't do that, right? Like, there's the king doesn't want me. The king doesn't call me to see him anymore. He's not pleased with me anymore. So if I go to him unannounced, he's likely to kill me, right? He's likely to depose me like he did Vashti.
Mm-hmm.
And Mordecai basically says to her, look, and I love this part of it. God is going to do something to save his people. That's not even a question.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews will not be wiped out. Right? Because they are God's chosen people and he has entered into a covenant relationship with them. But perhaps he put you in the position you're in
mm-hmm.
for just such a time as this. And mm-hmm. it's one of those things we throw out and misquote
yeah.
so often.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But the idea is, look, uh-huh. God has orchestrated this so that you can do something.
Mm-hmm.
So do something. And her response is, okay, fine. Then fast and pray for me,
mm-hmm.
and I'll fast and pray.
Mm-hmm.
And then she enters into this where she agrees to help.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't read as she does this, but yeah, then we see that this is something she does to actually get in front of Xerxes, shares the concern. Haman then is judged instead of the Jews. Mm-hmm. A new law is written so that the Jews can defend themselves and other people can come to their aid, and God gets all kinds of glory in this. So we should say, too, that in case people are confused where Esther lands in the timeline,
mm-hmm.
Esther basically happens at the same time Nehemiah is happening. Right around that same time frame. The exile is over, people have gone home to reestablish the country, but not everybody has gone. Some people are still living in the foreign lands, like Mordecai and
That's good.
Esther.
That's helpful.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.